Moncrief on News Talk.
There is a general perception, and with good reason, that in the last few years, antisocial behaviour has dramatically increased in our towns and cities, and that the centre of Dublin particularly has become a dangerous place. So is the answer to that just more policing? Tony Duffin was CEO of the Anna Liffey Drug Project for 25 years, is now a member of the Taoiseach's Task Force for Dublin City. Tony, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
Is it your... Yes, go on.
Just want to say thanks. And yeah, I think the perception piece you were saying, and I think perception is often reality, that antisocial behaviour is obviously a major issue across cities and towns in Ireland. But there are ways of reducing it, and I think that's what I hopefully will talk to you about now.
Yeah, no, well, there is a perception, but there also seem to be figures that back that up as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, that point, Tony, why has it increased, do you think?
Well, I think we can't ignore COVID. It was a very dramatic event for the world and obviously for Ireland. And during COVID, people weren't going into the city centre. I was certainly working at the time through that process, working alongside the guards with the team at Anna Liffey and alongside other NGOs that were in. Sometimes it's described as the streets were kind of sort of taken over or something in Dublin city centre, and that really hasn't been pulled back from. But I think there's a lot of work that goes on in the city centre by the guards, by the NGOs, and the things would be a lot worse if it wasn't the case. The other thing, when I was writing this last week, I wrote an opinion piece last week, and it was published on Thursday. It was just before the very tragic passing of Natasha Smith, who passed away. I just want to acknowledge the tragic passing of Natasha on Pierce Street last Friday, because, you know, a lot of this does relate to things like tents and begging and all sorts of things. And I think that quite often, you know, there's these tragic passings that happen on the streets during that, particularly during the winter, which it can be quite high profile. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of when Jonathan Corry passed away in December of 2014. So it's nothing new, but it's deeply tragic, and it's deeply upsetting for family, loved ones, and for the people who work at the front line, the places like the Lighthouse, Simon Community Street Outreach, Merchants Quay, Anna Liffey. People are working day in and day out to make sure these tragedies don't happen. And all these things get conflated in terms of antisocial behaviour, but also the lives that people are leading, you know?
Yeah. Now, I suppose a definition might be handy, because I do get the sense that people have different definitions of what they even mean by antisocial behaviour.
Yeah. I tend to... The literature refers to something called street people that are street involved. So it's not one group of people. There's people who are homeless, people who are housing instability, so they may be housed, but they're going into the streets. There could be addiction, mental health, exclusion from supports generally. So they're people that kind of frequently and very visibly use public spaces. So people who beg, people who sleep rough, that kind of thing. So people who are street involved, and, you know, the behaviours that people often refer to in terms of so-called antisocial behaviour would be things like sort of gathering in small groups, raised voices, fights, street-based drug use, and alcohol consumption, of course. And then, of course, low-level dealing and aggressive or organised begging, because there was a study done in recent years that found that people don't consider begging per se to be antisocial. People want to give people money, but people do not like aggressive or organised begging. So it's not that it's a uniform, it's or intrinsic to a particular individual, or it's kind of broad street people who are street involved. Yeah.
And a curious thing is that at this time of the year, there's less of it simply because of the weather.
Yeah. So you know, this is something. So I've been working in Dublin since 2000, and one of the things that every year, it's a rhythm. You know, the winter comes in, the weather gets bad, the rain, the cold, and we not just people who are street involved, but we all tend to use public spaces less naturally, and so we see less antisocial behaviour. It doesn't mean that anything is solved. People are in somewhere, or not going out and behaving in certain ways as much. And then, of course, the warm weather comes around and you've got the spring and the summer. And we all use public spaces more, but so do people who are street involved. And that phenomenon is well documented in the Guards. They refer that to that, you know, when the rain comes as officer rain, it reduces that kind of behaviour. It doesn't make policing any easier. There's lots of other things they have to get on with. But the rain comes and the cold weather comes and it's generally referred to as, in the UK, it's referred to as PC rain, and over here we refer to it as officer rain. So it's a kind of, it's a proper phenomenon that it ebbs and flows. I think that the other thing that happens during the winter and the versus the summer is people have got a lot of compassion for people during the winter and want to see people in safely. And then when the summer comes and it's more high profile and there's more of it, you know, the more of the antisocial behavior, people get a little more less tolerant towards people. It's the same group of people. And indeed, media reports harden as to the behaviours and such. As you know, we get a lot of reports on that, and then political response comes in, and people want to see more policing and such. And you mentioned at the top of this article, this piece, that the policing is only one part of the response, and policing alone will not solve this. It has to be a law enforcement and public health approach where the two are working together, and that's what we talked about on the Taoiseach's task force. There is a chapter in there called Big Move 5. It doesn't get so much attention as the other parts so far, but it's really focused on you know, a joined up response to the issues that we've described.
And actually, could you explain to us what that joined up five idea is? What will it look like when it's fully operational?
So it's got various parts to it, and it looks at things like making sure that the systems we have don't draw people in to Dublin city centre. So to give you one example of that, when I was at Analiffy, we would have to sometimes bring people from Limerick to Dublin to Beaumont Hospital to be assessed for a detox bed. That shouldn't be happening. People shouldn't have to come all the way from Limerick or any other part of the country to come to Dublin to have a service. They should be having that service provided to them as a very specialist service. I accept that, but it should be available where they live and near where they live. So Big Move 5 was very much about making sure that systems, and there's other examples of this, make sure that people don't have to come to Dublin, that people who live in Dublin will get their services, people who don't live in Dublin don't have to come to Dublin to get services. That was one thing. There was a lot to it, but there was other things like obviously increasing drug treatment services, having, as I mentioned before, having law enforcement and public health work together in very real terms. So having the guards, there's a particular model of a co-responder model with the guards and a health worker going out together to respond to particular call-outs. That's actually happening in Limerick. There's a model in Limerick as well, and that's working well. I believe it's going to be rolled out elsewhere. So, you know, the whole of the Big Move 5 approach was about also acknowledging that there is, an unfair amount of services that are in pockets of Dublin city centre, and to begin to address that. It wasn't about closing things down, but it was about finding alternatives and setting up alternatives for people locally so that those services could be wound down. But we're way off that. It was just very clear that there was a disproportionate amount of services in the city centre.
Yeah. Are the resources, all the resources there, Tony, to do all these things?
No, I think that's why it was such an important report from that was established by the Taoiseach, the highest office in the land. There's going to need to be not only significant funding for the implementation of all of the Taoiseach's task force report, but also very significant sort of reviews of how we do things. So there is a special purpose vehicle set up by Dublin City Council, which is recruiting staff at the moment, and that it will be looking at the implementation of the report. Not just looking at, but actually implementing the report. So it's not something that will happen overnight. I mean, the report itself was published at the end of 2024, and we're only now getting things in place to start to implement. So it's a medium term response, I suppose, to see new services put into place, but also look at how we deliver our services now to make sure that we reduce antisocial behaviour and improve, because the Taoiseach task force was much more was bigger than the piece on Big Move 5.
Sure.
It was about many other things around transport and housing and all sorts of things. So it's a big piece to get right, and it's just good to know that we're working towards it, you know.
Yeah. Now, Tony, a lot of the texts that are coming in from listeners, and it's something I'm sure you've heard yourself, people saying they don't come into town anymore in Dublin because they just don't feel safe.
I understand. Look, I think that's an understandable response. But the truth is that we all need to use Dublin City Centre. That we need to frequent it. We need the footfall for businesses, for shops, for restaurants, etc., for socialising. We need to go back in. That doesn't necessarily get rid of antisocial behaviour. It certainly means that you won't notice it as much, and you certainly will feel safer the more people that go to the city centre. Dublin, the statistics are quite clear that Dublin is safe. I understand that people, what they're saying about not wanting to go in, and people will make their own choices about that. But I do. But I live in Dublin, and I think that it's really important that we utilise the city centre. It is fantastic, you know, as a city.
Yeah, there was an interesting piece in the Irish Times today, actually, when they went through all the convictions that have taken place on the Dublin riots. Now, as a part of it, they were looking at to see, you know, were any of the people convicted, were they attached to extreme right-wing groups, which, you know, allegedly sparked the riots. Now, only a tiny minority of them were. For the most part, they just seemed to be young fellas who just opportunistic. They just thought, oh, there's a riot going on. Great, I'll start just robbing things out of shops. It feels like something's changed in Ireland that can happen.
It's a difficult one to answer that. I mean, I understand if that's what the stats are saying, that then and the information that you've seen in that report today is saying that makes sense. I think that there is definitely a disenfranchisement of youth, and we need to engage with them. Our youth services are really important, particularly in the city centre. There's a lot of other task forces and other groups that are working on this. I think it's fair to say that things would be worse if we weren't doing what we're doing. You know, I've watched what's happened in the UK, where they've defunded youth services and the kind of knife crime that's going on in London, and there's definitely it's connected. So things would be worse if we weren't doing what we're doing. We need to keep working at engaging with people. Quite often I hear people talking about these young people that you can't engage with them, that they're feral or whatever, and that's just not true. You need to engage with people. They need to find ways, pathways away from that type of behaviour. So, you know, there are young people. We need to engage with them.
Tony, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Tony Duffin there, a member of the Taoiseach's Task Force for Dublin City. And a lot of comments on that, as you might imagine. Just walked my kids home from school. Every footpath along the way was covered in dog crap. I would argue this is a form of antisocial behaviour. Someone else says antisocial behaviour should also include D4s in their boisterous nights out, causing trouble but getting away with it, or those gangs of young people in Dublin 8 acting up because they know at the moment nothing can be done with them. Someone else says early morning last week I was approached by a man bagging inside Dublin Airport. Again, I don't go shopping on Henry Street anymore. I feel it's gotten very rough. There is an edge around many streets in Dublin city centre these days, and it would make you avoid areas altogether. Even in broad daylight, you would be afraid. Though one person says, Dublin, compared to other cities internationally, is so safe. I think we blow things out of proportion. I lived in San Francisco for many years, and the very obvious mental health, addiction and homelessness crisis was eye-opening. You would literally see 50 people who lived on the street within a few short blocks Thankfully, things are not that bad here, and there are services available for people to get support. But, you know, if you start to feel unsafe, it's hard to get to flip that back again. Most of the antisocial behaviour I come across has nothing to do with drugs. Most that I see involves scramblers, scooters and boy racers.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.